In the amazing name of Jesus, who loves us so very much, he gave himself up for us on the cross. In the amazing name, by the amazing love of Jesus, amen. I'd like for you, if you will, to turn to our text for this evening. It's a reading from Amos chapter 7. Amos is not a book I think we read too often, so it'll be good for you to find it in the Old Testament, Amos 7. We'll also be looking at the first part of Amos chapter 7 and glance a little bit at Amos chapter 8 also. If you're a visitor with us this evening, we welcome you and hope that you'll join us soon and again often for worship. If you're a visitor with us and don't have a Bible at home, we encourage you to take one of the pew Bibles as our gift to you so that you can read and study God's precious word. God's precious word for us tonight reminds us to keep everything straight. Is that ever hard for you? Is it hard sometimes to keep everything straight, orderly and organized and in a straight line? I guess as a carpenter wants to keep things straight, he might take a chalk line and pop the chalk line to be able to keep that as a straight line. Maybe if you're a carpenter or some other profession, maybe it's just working at home, you want to hang things in a level way. Maybe it's that picture. And so you use a level to keep everything straight. It's not always easy to keep everything straight. Does your desk look a little like this one? I said to the ladies this week who were helping me get the sermon images ready, I said, I'd like a picture of a messy desk. And you know what those jokers did? They said, you want us to go right to your office and take the pictures? I said, thank you, no, you're meddling now. So they found this one instead. But it's not too far off, probably, from my desk, too. Does it look like yours? It's hard to keep everything straight. What about your house? Maybe the garage looked like this one, or the basement, or some other part of the house, stacked up with stuff overflowing. Even when we try hard, even when we think we've got things organized, it's not always easy to keep everything straight. With that in mind, think about the Old Testament reading Pastor shared with us a moment ago from Amos chapter 7. In Amos chapter 7, we find a divided Israel. Israel to the north, Judah to the south. And let me say it this time, everything in Israel was a mess. Nothing was lined up. Nothing was straight the way that it ought to be. Nothing. And that's why God sent Amos. Toward the end of our text, Amos says, I'm a shepherd. I wasn't trained as a prophet. I'm not a prophet's son. I didn't learn about prophecy, but God has sent me. I'm a plain old shepherd. He said, I'm a farmer. I take care of sycamore fig trees. But when God gives me a message, that message I must speak. And that message is that things are a mess in Israel and you need to keep things straight. God was speaking a word of judgment to the people at Amos's time, to the people of Israel, because everything was a mess. If you look at the scriptures in our text for tonight, Amos chapter 7 says that there were people who were engaged in false worship. There were ungodly leaders politically, like the king. There were ungodly leaders even in the church. The ones who should be the priests and leading people the right way were not. And God said, for that reason, my judgment is going to come against this people and this time. If you look at chapter 8, skim through that first part of chapter 8, you'll see that the people were greedy. The people were unkind and untruthful. They cheated in business. They didn't care about the needs of the poor and those who were needy, they were into it for themselves. And for all these reasons and many more, God's judgment was coming against the people of Israel. Back to chapter 7, the first few verses, God gave Amos a vision. And that first vision was that locusts would come and destroy the land. The first harvest had been in, and as things began to come up again a second time, God was going to send locusts so deep and thick and vast that they would destroy everything. And Amos pleaded, "Not that, God. Israel, Jacob, is so small that if you do that, you'll completely destroy the people." So God relented of that sort of destruction. God gave Amos a second vision, and that second vision is that a consuming fire would come and burn up everything, scorch it all. And Amos said, "Lord, Israel, your people, Jacob, they're too small. They can't handle that. You'll destroy them all." And God relented of that punishment and judgment as well. But then God said to Amos, "Look at this. I'm going to send you because things are all messed up in Israel. Things are not straight or kept straight as they should. And here's what I will do. I will send you to proclaim my word of judgment." And when he came and when he spoke those words, there were those who were political and religious leaders coming against and standing against the word of God, standing against the prophecies Amos brought. The priest in Bethel, his name was Amaziah, and he spoke harshly against Amos and ultimately against God and said, "Get out of here. Go prophesy. Go tell visions someplace else. We don't want you here." And then word came through Amaziah the priest to Jeroboam, who was the wicked king of Israel at the time. The prophecy was that Jeroboam would die in battle and that God's people would be led away as captives to a foreign land. God's judgment would prevail. And the king said, "I don't want to hear it either. Get away. Go back to Judah. Go back to the south where somebody cares, where they want to hear, but not hear." God sent Amos and he said, "I send you and I give you this vision of a plumb line. You see a man here erecting a tower, a pillar, and he has a plumb line. That plumb line hangs straight and true. And against that plumb line, everything can be measured to see if everything is kept straight, if it is as it should be." God says, "I give you this vision, Amos. I set a plumb line in my land among my people. See how they measure up. And you will see that they are a crooked people going in the wrong direction." There's a building I know you all know of in the world that might be a good example of that. And the building is the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You see that Leaning Tower, and it looks as though it couldn't possibly stand. Imagine, if you will, a plumb line hung from the top of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. That plumb line hangs straight and perfect and true. And when it does, as you measure up against it, you can see how much that tower leans, and you wonder if it's going to topple over. That's the picture that God gives to Amos to give to the people, to say that you are a crooked and a wild generation. You're not living as God intends you to live, and God will stand for it no longer. Just earlier this afternoon, I saw on television a few minutes of the film, the movie Noah. Now, I'm not sure it was a very good movie, and it certainly wasn't biblically accurate, but what it made me think, and what it reminded me again, is that there comes a time of God's judgment when God will put up with it no longer, and God judges. And that's what he did in the first part of creation. When creation had gotten so wicked and wild and crooked, when nothing was straight, He finally destroyed all the world and all the living creatures so that he could start again. God does that, and God will do that. When I think of how God has acted in the past, and as we see that throughout history, and how God was acting at the time of Amos, it makes me think also of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember how God, in his judgment, struck Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and hail, with all the rest from heaven, and finally destroyed them. God acts because God is perfect and holy and righteous and just, and he calls us to live the same way. So what do you think when you think about our country today? When you think of our country today, I wonder if God would not speak exactly those same sort of words to us today. You think about the millions of children who are killed by abortion. You think in our country today about the anger and the animus, the hatred we so often hear about in Washington and elsewhere, one party against the next, and the vitriol as a Supreme Court justice is perhaps going to be placed in his office. The anger, the hatred, the comments that are made. There is so much that's messed up in the United States, and so much that is wicked. If God were to set a plumb line, what do you think about our country, and how do we stack up? Well, I think it's true also of our city. What about our city and how Wichita stacks up? How often do you turn on the radio or listen to the television and hear of another murder, of more hatred? You think of the woman who was just sentenced for murdering a mother and stealing that child. About the little boy whose body was found under the bridge. This place is a trafficking place, north and south on I-35, with drugs and sex trafficking in Wichita. As we look at our city, at the place in which we live, God sets a plumb line too, and how much is wicked. How much is out of plumb? How much is not right according to God's word? God sets a plumb line. God doesn't leave us just to wonder, to figure it out ourselves, or to go in our own direction, but instead, the plumb line that God gives us is his precious word. His word is straight and true. And he calls you and me to be students of the word, not occasionally, not every once in a while, but all the time and faithfully and regularly to be in his word so that his word is in us. So that when there are decisions to be made, when we want to see whether things line up or not, is it plumb? Is it straight according to God's word? So many would like to say, well, I think, I suppose, I judge, I believe. It's not that, it's the plumb line of God's word. Jeroboam might have said the same, I want, I desire, I think, but God sent through Amos his straight word. It's a word of judgment, a word of law, but there's also for us a word of grace, a word of hope, and a word of peace. Because you see, if we're left to our own selves, our own desires, our own ability to make it all happen and line up in the straight way, we would all be lost. His word is for us a compass. His word points us to due north, to straight way. That compass of God's word always points us to Jesus. And in Jesus, there is hope and help. There is forgiveness. There is joy. There is life in Christ. The last chapter of Scripture in Revelation 22, Jesus is the bright and morning star. He's the north star, the true star, who points us to our Heavenly Father. He points us, his word points us to the fact that we need a Savior. We're desperately in need in our country, in our city, in our own lives, in our church. We're desperate for the need of a Savior. And God has answered us. God has sent Jesus to be our Savior. The days will come, brothers and sisters, where we need to continue, as Amos did, to speak mightily, to speak powerfully, words of law and judgment, and words of gospel and hope and forgiveness and truth. Because you see, we live in a nation, we live in a city where people are searching, where people are lost. In our own sin, in our own direction, our own hopes and aspirations, our own fears and worries and challenges, people are looking for the straight way. And that straight way is our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus forgives. Jesus loves. Jesus saves. It's not easy to speak God's word with truth and clarity. You know, the gospel reading shows that too. Remember the gospel reading? Where everything was a mess in Israel at that time too. Where Herod was living his own way, doing his own thing, living an ungodly life as the king. And God's word of judgment came. It was difficult, and you know that John lost his head over the whole matter of speaking the truth. It may be difficult. It will be difficult for you and me. It would be so much easier just to get along and let things go their own way. But instead, I believe that God calls us to be a beacon in a dark world. In our world, in our country, in our city, in our neighborhoods, in our families, to speak the word of truth so that everything can be kept straight. Kept straight, pointing to Christ. Christ who loves, Christ who forgives, Christ who encourages, Christ who strengthens us. May God bless you as you are filled with his word, as you live in his word, to know his truth so that everything can be plumb, so that everything can line up the way God intends. And when we mess up, and we do, he forgives. He loves in Christ Jesus. For Jesus' sake, may you know this truth and joy and peace and comfort so that everything lines up and is kept straight, straight pointing to Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who makes us right with his Father. In Jesus' name, amen.